We are springing your finances forward. This is the OFC season of finance, and everything we're going to be talking about over these next couple of weeks are all about money. I am excited today. We have our boy Ken Ingram, longtime supporter of the OFC, longtime member of this community. He is here today to share about this amazing program that he has that's going to get those who are in business set up, structured, and ready to go. And those who are prepared to scale, he's here to bring you all to the next level. Guys, stay tuned for another awesome episode of OFC Podcast Radio.
I think
this is deep. Drum roll, please.
OFC Podcast Radio.
We are back.
Rich Rising, everyone. Welcome to OFC Podcast Radio. All fresh, all new, bringing power to the people because the people have the power. Gina the Great, Pharaoh Hammond Freeman, and myself, Queen Kaya, are here to entertain and enlighten you. But before we do anything else, though, we're going to bless our show and the kings and queens that are listening.
Blessed Melanated Rising, my people. I am grateful to life, God our creator, and our ancestors for one being present with us and for giving us this great opportunity to be able to be on here, to be on air, to entertain, to enlighten, and empower our people. And we're sending out that spirit of love, that spirit of light, that spirit of unity, strength, great health, wealth, peace, joy, and general good vibes to each and every one of our listeners, the people who are out there tuned in, locked in, the people who are following us online, the people who are following us on our podcast, and even those who don't give a damn about us, really, but they're out there as well. We want to send them love too, because they are just a part of this amazing ecosystem. So again, I give thanks. Hotep, Ashe, Amen, Aibobo. Guys, this is week two of being back to the OFC Podcast Radio. How are you guys doing this week?
Do you know what I did this week?
No, I don't. Tell me everything.
I went to the Sugar Shack twice. And why did I go twice? Yeah, which by the way, twice is too much. But because I had already, yeah, it is. We had already reserved for the family to go on April 1st. After that was reserved and done with, my company announced that the date of our company Sugar Shack would be Thursday after that. So I've been on my workout and hit that 10,000 steps, because you can't do Sugar Shack twice in 1 week and expect to just be have your wits about yourself. Mm-hmm. But I do want to shout them out because, you know, more and more are coming out with vegetarian menus and vegan menus as well. Although, what? Okay. I'm going to say vegan menu, but not really. So the one I went to on the Monday with the family, which was also my grandmother's 25th anniversary of passing. So it was nice to be with family like that and you know, just honor my grandmother to be together like that. But we went to Au Palais Sucré, and they like actually had a vegetarian menu, and it was banging. It was delicious. And, you know, high five to them. Great service. It was really a fun time, a nice little environment, and, you know, a little fire pit outside. Had a couple animals, a donkey, a pony, and a couple goats. They did have a llama too. So that was nice. It's a nice little area. And then where we went to on the Thursday was Érablière Charbonneau.
Mm-hmm.
And it was good, but I really do feel like Au Palais Sucré was better, because what Charbonneau did is, as my company called and arranged, or the person who was responsible arranged it, she asked if they had a vegetarian menu and a gluten-free menu, and they're just like, yeah, we accommodate for everything. And, you know, you got to listen to the details, because yes, they accommodate for everything, but basically what they do is they bring you the sheet of what they're serving, what you can actually eat. So, like, if you have to be gluten-free, it was just like, oh, no problem, like, here's what you can eat from what we're serving. So basically, none of the desserts.
Jesus. Let's start with that. Yeah. Where's all the desserts? Don't look at them.
Yeah, so don't touch that, because it'll be your problem. But you can have all of the meats, and you'll be fine.
I'm like, all the meats, you said?
Yeah, well, of course. Gluten-free meat. Meat is gluten-free, so you can have what? That. And then the vegetarians and the vegans are just, oh, well, okay, this is what you can have as well. So forget the soup, forget this. Because even at Au Palais Sucré, the soup is vegetarian. You know, I'm not a big soup au pois the way they make it. Like, I prefer our West Indian, you know, pea soup, but they're just like that. At least we're going to make the soup vegetarian because no matter what, everybody can eat this. But they're like, nah, you can't eat that. But you know what? We'll give you a vegetarian chili, which was fine. But at the end of the day, I'm kind of like, I could have made the eggs at home, but I didn't pay for it. So I was fine. You know what I mean? That was a company payment for that. And I'm just like, oh, well, next time, just listen to what I say. So that was my week.
Gina the Great knows best. That's a thing. You know that by now.
Honestly, at least 90% of the times. And to that, I mean, Kaya, why don't you take it away and talk about how your week was?
Child, well, this is how my week went, child. Leading up to this, this is what happened. I think I just be having to get dudes together sometimes because I don't think they know their own self. So I'm so happy that you said that. And I think that that should be the theme of the week. Like, literally, it's like, worry about yourself. Worry about your own self. You worried about if this girl is a hoe. You worried about if this guy is a... Worry about your own house. Worry about your own little corner that God gave you. Worry about that corner. Clean up there, and then God will bless you with what you're supposed to have. But stop complaining out here about people's children. You don't know what part of their life, what phase of their life they're going through, why they doing the things that they doing right now. And you don't know how God plans on using them. So keep your little sticky little comments and all that to yourself about, oh, women ain't traditional and men ain't this and women ain't... No, no, no. Work on your own self. And I think that's the theme for the week. So, yeah, but this week is that kind of week. So repair and reparation from inside before you start running them lips and get chapstick, damn it. P, I'm just saying they running ashy lips too, god damn it. Get lip gloss if you gonna talk shit. Nah. P, how was your week?
No, this week was fun. What did I do this week? As we're talking about some Bible verses, it's an older movie, but I watched the Book of Clarence.
Yes.
Yo, have you got... Okay, so you seen that? Gina, nope. Great, you seen Book of Clarence yet?
Can you tell me what it is about again?
Yo,
it's Jay-Z's movie.
Yo, it's with our homeboy from Get Out, the guy who not the main character, the guy who got abducted first to Get Out, you know, right? And who else is in that movie?
Oh, the Jesus movie.
The Jesus movie?
Yeah, the Book of Clarence movie.
I haven't
seen it. Okay, yeah, that's the best way to put it. Okay, yeah, the Jesus movie. So,
yeah,
yo, that movie's pretty lit still. I have to say, like, it's the storyline is good. The movie, it's like, it's funny. It's like, yo, I across the board, it's like, and the thing is, I kind of feel like I made my children watch it because I watched it the first time. We actually, ironically, got Easter Sunday. Now, not because it was Easter, it just so happened. And then we're watching, we're like, yo, this is so fitting for the time.
Oh my gosh. So sorry. So sorry to interject. Because you said Easter Sunday, but we were also together Easter Sunday. We forgot to mention that. But mention that afterwards, though.
Oh, facts. In truth. Okay, so yeah. So we did that. So we watched the Book of Clarence. The whole family did. And that was pretty lit. I just wanted to give that a plug. Just because it's a good movie. Great storyline. I did watch some reviews online. Some of our Christian brethren did not like the movie at all. They found it was kind of blasphemous. I found it gave a good perspective. It was like, yo, the perspective of another brother, like, first of all, and it gave the whole Jesus narrative, like, from a Black perspective, right? True, right? Where it's just like, but there was the white Jesus that showed up in the movie, you're like, okay. Because they're like, yo, there's different people who hung on the cross at the same time, right? So it's like the perspective of it was like, yo, it wasn't just Jesus on the cross. It's like, what happened to the other guy? How'd that guy get on the cross? So you kind of get that, right. Story, which is dope. As you guys know, it's finance season within the OFC. So as the beginning of April, going right until the end of June, it's finance season in the OFC. So everything we're doing is we're talking about money. We're talking about empowerment. The guest that we have on today, one and only Ken Ingram, he's talking about a sales program that he has. I got to give a huge shout out to Afco Entrepreneur. We're in the process of developing a program. It's not locked in yet. And actually, we're going to talk about it during the interview. But guys, through Afco Entrepreneur, they're subsidizing 80% of this sales course for the people within the community. Guys, it is huge. It's the same sales course I took when I just started in business. It's a milestones program that helps you understand the foundation that you need in business, and then the sales program that helps you to level up. Again, it's like giving you the ability to print money, because once you know how to properly communicate and how to ask the right questions and to know when it's time to quote unquote sell, or to know when it's time to offer the solution that you have. You can do that anywhere, anytime. I've started businesses here, Trinidad, online, whatever it is, based off of these fundamentals. So guys, I'm excited for this op, and I'm glad that the people in the community are going to be able to benefit from it. So I had an opportunity to connect with Afro Entrepreneur this week. I had an opportunity to connect with Ken this week. So that was dope. Aside from that, I always got to give a huge shout out to Group 3737. I'm just going to bring them on the show and let them talk about the program, because they have the gala. It's the happening that they have coming up in the month of May. This is going to be exciting, but we'll bring them on so they can talk about it. And actually, shoot, as I spoke about Afro Entrepreneur, they have their gala April 25th that's going to be off the chain as well. So definitely, I think they're already practically sold out, but that's going to be an amazing, amazing opportunity as well. So guys, as I'm winding down my things that I went through this week, just a quick little touch bases and updates, I'm going to play Mikel Teja, DNA, because last week, because I was rushed when I was talking about my time, I didn't get a chance to play my DNA tune. I just always want to big up Mikel Teja. I'll have him on the show sometime, maybe in the summer, you know, just talk about the awesome things that he's been going through and how the single's doing. But it's been, DNA, I find it just touches my soul in a certain kind of way. It lifts my spirits, especially when I'm down, because the fact that I'm not too sure what's going on with our culture here in Montreal, it brings me, this type of tune really lifts me up. Big shout out to all the groups. Actually, as I say that, I just remembered. So big shout out to all the groups that were funded. The Coalition, Black Coalition, well, not the Coalition, I think it was the Barbados House was given the permit to do the Montreal parade. Everybody's waiting in anticipation, I guess, to hear what's going on with our Montreal Carnival, Montreal parade. So I just want to give props to them who have it. I'm hoping for the best. So as we're taking a pause for the cause, we're going to pause with Mikel Teja, DNA.
Let's take a quick positive cause just to shout out our homegirls, Kemba and Andrea from Keen Real Estate Group. Whenever you're thinking real estate, whenever you're thinking investments, whenever you're thinking about planning for the long term, think Keen Real Estate Group. They're generating wealth for generations. KeenGroup.ca.
If your goal is to purchase a car and to make the process as simple as possible, just get a car broker, guys. You just get a car broker. Big shout out to our homeboy, Hamsdale Jacques, the owner of hjcourtierauto.com. That's hjcourtierauto.com.
If you're a small to medium-sized business and you're getting started and you're ready to go to that next level, what do you need? You need a phone line and you need a website. Think Mainstream Digicom. They got all your telecommunication needs checked. MainstreamDigicom.com.
You're trying to get out on the web. You're trying to understand how to navigate through ads. Check out Java Logics for all your marketing, your digital marketing. Where would we be without Preston? I don't even know. Check out Java Logics. I give thanks to Preston for what he's done for the OFC. The amount of positive reviews we've gotten from all his referrals, we're proud to stand behind his work. Check out javalogics.com.
No, it's not just because he's my brother. It's because you can't talk hip-hop in Montreal without saying M-City Solo. Guys, check out his latest project, In My Feels, available on mcitysolo.com. If it's not one of the hardest new EPs to hit Montreal, come and let me know. You already know. It's your boy, Faro, bigging up, mcitysolo.com.
Keeping the culture alive. I gotta give thanks to West Can Folk Performing Company. For the last 40 years plus, they've been promoting our culture through song, drum, and dance, educating youth, the children, the seniors. Just check them out, westcanfolk.com.
Girl, what are you cooking?
My curry chicken.
Ooh, you're burning it.
Oh, gosh, it looks so...
It's okay, girl. You need the Curry House. They have the best Caribbean food in town. Two locations in Montreal, West Island and Côte-des-Neiges. For more information, follow Caribbean Curry House, MTL. Don't forget to mention the Empower Hour for your 10% discount.
So, who placed in the order?
Me.
DeVito, Wizkid, Burna Boy. Those are just some of the big names that's blessed Montreal thanks to Afrobeats Montreal. Definitely check out Afrobeats MTL for all concerts, show listings, everything that has to do with Afrobeats in the city. Check out Afrobeats MTL. One full circle. We are the Melanated Community Resource Hub and Network. What does that mean? We're here for each other.
Parlay with the people.
Beautiful people, like I had mentioned at the top of the show, the guest that we have here is, he's more than a guest at this point. I like to say that he's a friend of mine. He's a mentor of mine. He is a partner of the show. He's one of our master contributors, and every time he's on, he's here to uplift and empower. It is the one and only Ken Ingram from the Achievement Center. Brother Ken, Uncle Ken, like we like to say, welcome to the OFC Podcast Radio, and thank you for being a guest with me today on Parley with the People. How are you doing, my brother?
I'm doing great, Farrell, and thank you for having me as a guest. As you said, partner. We've been friends a long time, collaborators. You've followed a number of my programs, and I can tell you honestly, I look at you not only as a family, but one of my best students.
Thank you very much. I'm proud to be. I talk about it all the time. I credit a lot of my success that I've things I've been able to accomplish in business to the teachings that the courses that we've taken, not just myself, but my team has taken with you as well. So definitely, like, and people know, I've said it, I think a million times, that the course with you allowed me, it gave me the power to print money, because the fundamentals that I picked up in terms of just how to communicate, how to listen, how to ask the right questions, and to know the buying signs, to me, gold, my friend. So, but as people are listening, they're like, whoa, what's all this goodness? Before we dive into the actual business, Ken, you know, I'd like to take a moment just for our new listeners, for people who might not have had an opportunity to meet you, just for you to get to, just to give you a window for you just to introduce yourself personally before we go into what you do in business.
Yeah, I'm, Ken Ingram. I was an aerospace test engineer for 20 years with Bombardier Aerospace. After 9/11, we had to downsize the engineering team, and I was in the senior management. But it gave me an opportunity to leave the company age 44 and look at my life and look at the things that I could do and things that I could possibly offer. And I found that professional development, training and coaching was a good fit for me, because I had all the experience. I had the leadership knowledge. I had the strategy. I had all these things that each and every one of us need, but we've never learned it in school. And that's why I say, I like to help you. I like to help entrepreneurs to fly faster than their competitors, because if we can learn some real basic stuff that can help us to do that, help us to do the things that nobody else can do. And this is what Olympic athletes do. They do incredible things, but it takes them 4 years to learn it.
That's it.
But imagine for the moment you could shorten the learning curve by working with me. How awesome would that be?
That's exactly it. Yep. It's a fast track, especially now where they say the most valuable commodity we have is time. Mm-hmm. If we could save that time by implementing just best practices where it cuts your learning curve, like you just said, in half or two, like sometimes even more than half if you're an awesome student like myself. But it really does make a world of a difference. But I think the key for people to understand, though, when especially when we talk about training, coaching, taking courses, is they have to see it as not them buying a course or paying for a program. They are investing in themselves.
Yeah.
Right? That's really what it comes down to.
Well, we've all got underused potential. We've all been born with superpowers that we're not using. As we age, we sort of forget about these superpowers. Curiosity, enthusiasm, the ability to negotiate. We were negotiating with our parents from the time we were born.
So yeah,
your parents rush in and they, what's wrong with you? And they you know, we were negotiating from the time we were born, and we forgot about all these superpowers that we have, that we were born with.
And the thing is, you're hitting it on the head, but anyways we're gonna dive into actually, like, you know, what you actually do, your business itself. But I think if we have to coin it in a way, You are unlocking the magic that's inside of each person. Yeah, you're able to show a person and tap into, allow them to tap into a part of themselves that's always been there. They just didn't know it existed. So actually, so now let's talk. So let's talk about the business itself. So it's the Achievement Center. So now, first of all, it's been around for how long now?
Well, we were founded in 1983, so that's 41 years ago. And I opened the office here in Montreal after I retired in 2002. So it's been 20 years, and I'm one of the owners in the group. We're four owners in the group, but we have offices and value-added resellers right across Canada. So our services are available to just about anybody in Canada, but we also have the ability, and I do actually have some clients in Mexico who come to me and who have asked me for help and support, and because they want to grow into North American markets. And you know, one of the things that we often don't forget, it's our ability to take the lunch out of the competitor's mouth. And that doesn't sound very exciting, but you know something? When you're on the right side of the equation, you're really enjoying this.
Right. Yeah. The market is wide open. There's opportunities for everybody, and that's why it's like, yeah, we are always here to uplift and empower community and to support those you know, who need it. But at the same time, I think one of the strengths that we have, especially within the OFC community, is that from when you show an effort and you're making steps forward, we're here to propel you forward. And I think with the resources and the tools and the knowledge that you're able to provide to the business owners that see that value, business owners who are looking to strive. Yes, a startup business can connect with you because they need at least the milestones, right? At least to understand, like, when you're starting in business, these are some fun foundational things that you should know. Just as simple, and not to go too far off, but I had a conversation with a member the other day, and he mentioned something, and I was like, do you have a slogan? And he's like, no. I was like, you know, I was like, it's so funny. I was like, I learned that at the beginning of my business career, how important the slogan is, because it's like free advertising. It's like you're telling the person what to think about your business, and they are constantly, even more than your business name, the slogan sticks out. I learned that through the Milestones program, right? So it's awesome to have a newcomer in business take the Milestones program just to lay that foundation. But those who are ready to scale, getting into the sales program is the next best thing, because like people can refer people to you all day, but if you can't retain a client, if you can't turn that customer into a long-term client, and that's what I tell people all the time as well, that it's not just about selling your product once, it's about establishing a relationship where that is a repeat customer, and that person is going to go and talk to other people about you. So anyways, I'll digress, Ken. I'll let you talk, but obviously I like to rant to you about it.
Well, Farrell, you know what the first rule in sales is, right? People do business with people like, trust, and respect. Back to what you were saying. It's relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, how do I get the jump over my competitors? You build relationships.
You got it.
People do business with people they like, trust, and respect. So you have to be somebody that people will like, trust, and respect. And these are some of the things we teach in our pure selling program. You know, everybody thinks they can sell, but the reality is maybe they're not really, really good at it. They have a mediocre business, not a sustainable business. And they don't, you know, I have to say to people, what would you love to have? I'd love to have a gold medal in finance for this year, like an athlete, a gold medal financial year. And I say, do you know anybody who's ever achieved that? They say, no, but it's possible.
Yeah.
It's possible if you learn how to sell, build those relationships. People do business with people they like, trust, and respect. And this is what we teach you in the Pure Selling program.
Man, we are looking at a time where, and you just gave a great analogy, because I don't know any successful athlete that doesn't have a coach or a trainer.
Exactly. We all think we can go on our own, but there's no successful athlete who doesn't have somebody training them and coaching them to be successful.
It's almost insulting to the art of business to think that you could just get into business without knowing, like, and don't get me wrong, there's some people, and matter of fact, actually, no, I'll change what I was about to say, is that some people do come up with a business idea and they become millionaires overnight. But I have to say, actually, at the same time as I say that, one, from the outside, it looks like they became millionaires overnight. A lot of people I know who are millionaires, there was not no overnight process. They're just maybe people came to find out about them, and it seemed like it came from nowhere. So it's very rare that you meet a millionaire who's like, yeah, I just stumble across millions. Because one, a lot of people who have wealth, one time or another, lost a lot of wealth because they made a lot of big mistakes because they didn't understand what they were doing, right? Yeah. So that's why it's like there's some key fundamentals and understanding in business. But if you're going to respect the art of business, if you're going to be true to it, you have to be coached. You have to understand. You have to be coached. You have to have a trainer. You have to understand some fundamentals just in order to respect the art of business. Like, it's like anything. When you're getting a 9-to-5, they run you through a training process for you to understand what this company is about that you're going to work for. You're now in business for yourself. You're working for yourself. There's some fundamentals that you need to know. And we're glad to be able to create opportunities for members within the community to know them.
And that's why I like to talk about the concept of you incorporated, because each and every one of us is a business. And in our business, we have talents and abilities.
Yes.
And what do we do with those talents and abilities? We use our talents and abilities to get results, but also benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And the more optimized we are, the more we can optimize our talents and abilities in anything. The greater our results and the greater our benefits. It's not rocket science, but we make it rocket science because we think it's complicated. It's not complicated. You just need to learn how to act and behave like an engine in a car. Or a Swiss watch.
Well said. You see, and it's like, you know, as I'm listening to you and I'm thinking back on even some of the business ventures I've gone on with people and some of the meetings I've sat in, you could really tell those who have taken the time to learn certain things and who haven't, right? And I think we're in an era right now where because there's so much information available to you, we shouldn't be making excuses for people anymore. We should be in a position where we take control of ourselves as a community. We take control of our understanding. We prioritize what's important to us. Right now, I find the system is doing a good job of keeping people distracted and keeping people always running after shiny things. But if you are serious about your business and you wanna grow intelligently, it's important that you take these first steps. And now, if we could take a moment just to kind of break down the two programs that you have, and then we'll talk about the opportunity that the community has. So first, in terms of just the milestones, right? When people connect with you to take the milestones program, first of all, what's the program about? What are they learning? What's the process?
Well, milestones is a strategic planning process. It's a huge brainstorming. And what I often find is, yes, well, some of us are familiar with the concept of SWOT: strength, weakness, opportunity, threats. We've typically learned about that, but that most businesses look at it from an internal point of view. What about externally? What about all the things that can blindside you, like COVID did, and just sideswiped us, and then we were closed down for 2 years, and we didn't know what to do. So milestones helps you to flush out all these things and think about not only your strengths, weaknesses, and opportunities internally, but what about externally? And how do we communicate? How do we set milestones? How do we set goals and objectives? So many things that are really, really key. A lot of us do a business plan. We get money from the bank. We put our business plan up on the shelf. It collects dust, and we get distracted with the operational day-to-day issues of our business. And we forget about the fact that every week, we should be putting aside time to think about our strategy. Go back. Am I still on track? Am I still doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Is there something that needs to be tweaked or modified? But also, milestones helps you to stay on track, because you're always going to be, there's always going to be all this noise coming left, right, and center. And you have to say, okay, well, that's not part of my plan. So I'm going to stick with my plan. And it's interesting, even in finance, you know, I work with a financial advisor. And sometimes I said, what about investing in such and such? And what about investing in such and such? And he says to me every time, Ken, let's just stick with the plan. So that's the beauty about milestones. And I know people that have been in business not only a year, but 10 years, 20 years. And they've come to me and they say, oh my, Ken, I've lost my way.
Mm-hmm.
Can you help me? And I said, of course I can help you. The strategic planning program we have for that is called Milestones.
Wow.
Let me take you through it. A lot of companies, the owner comes up with a strategy all by himself. Right. What about all the people that are working with you?
Yeah.
they probably have equally brilliant ideas that you've never thought about.
It's a real, you're.
So the Milestones program helps you to get a board of directors. Even a board of directors for a nonprofit could do benefit from a Milestones program. And I've done that. I've done it with nonprofits. So it's Milestones is a great program.
I like that. And I think the biggest point that stood out to me just now is like that situation we went through with COVID. You have to be able to pivot. You have to be able to adjust. You have to be able to know. And again, everything's not always going to be perfect. And that's something else that you learn in business. Like you learn how to roll with the punches, so to speak, how to adjust and adapt. So it's a good balance to be able to have that foundation where you stay focused and you don't get distracted by the shiny things, or you know, have that squirrel brain where every second you're going to something else. But at the same time, you have to know how to bend with it so that you don't break. You have to know how to you know, basically just see what's coming, see the storm coming, know how to adjust yourself, know how to buckle down, so to speak, when things are going, you know, not necessarily going the way you had envisioned them, but understand that's a part of the business and the growth.
And every OFC member would benefit from doing a Milestones program, every single one of them.
Mm-hmm. I agree. But you know, it's funny because I feel as we're on a public platform, now these are things that we create opportunities for OFC members. So OFC members get discounts and we create these ops for them to be able to get subsidized programs and support. Now, I'm really excited to just be able to share this information publicly so that even if you're not an OFC member and you don't necessarily see the value or need, you know, to get the discounts or those type of things, I am a strong believer in empowering each and every individual, regardless if you're a member of the community or not. So me being able to share this information, different than a lot of people that, and you know them, Ken, like people who stumble across something awesome and keep it to themselves because they're like, ooh, I do not want to share this, or I want to have that advantage over everybody.
Yeah, please don't keep me a secret. Please.
Right. Well, that's because the thing is, the way I see it is everybody's success is our success. Like yeah. Everybody doing well, it like to me, I don't mind if all of a sudden everybody in the community is doing well and they don't need an OFC because everybody's living their best life already. I have no problem with that. I'm not the type of organization that's in the business of trying to keep people down. I'm in the business of uplifting people and empowering them. And hey, well, like if once I'm done, everybody's empowered and there's nothing else for me to do within this realm, I'm sure there's something else I will find to do. Don't worry. I have enough children. I love hanging out with my wife. I will be able to occupy my time, right? But all that to say, like we're sharing this information with everybody so that everybody can be empowered and have that slight advantage.
Let's build a better world.
Thank you. That's exactly it. So now let's touch on sales and on the sales program. Now you said something at the beginning of the show. I wanted to reference my new best friend, the author of Rich Dad Poor Dad. I want to say Robert Kiyosaki. Is that his name? Anyways, he's my best friend. I don't know his last name. But anyway, the point is, Rich Dad Poor Dad, there's a section in the book where he talks about the fact that he's a best-selling author, not a best writing author, right? Like, so no matter how much skill he has, the fact that he has an ability to sell is really what puts him at the top of the game, yeah. Right? And some authors get offended by that because they're like, you know, like you're cheating the system because you're not even that good of a writer, but your books are crushing. And the whole point is, it's like you have to understand sales, period. No matter what people say, no matter how they want to take it, no matter how they want to paint salespeople as a, you know, like
evil,
a,
evil,
you know, evil,
evil, like, Knievel.
You're an evil salesperson. Everybody has to sell. And so if you don't mind just talking a little bit about the sales program, so people can understand what it's about.
What it's called pure selling. And it's interesting. I was in a meeting many, many years ago with the founder of the Achievement Center, Wayne Van Wyck, and a group of us were in the conference room with him, and he put up the flip chart on the wall, and he says, "So what business are we in?" And we looked a little puzzled at his question, and, oh, we're in the training business, we're in the coaching business, professional development, and I think this went on for about, Wayne let this go on for about 5 minutes.
Okay.
And then he shut us all down and he said, "Don't you realize you're in the sales business? Because if you can't sell, you can't do all those things that you want to with people."
You're absolutely
and
right.
It was sort of like a big slap in the face to us. You know, mm-hmm. Oh, you're mm-hmm. right.
Yeah.
That's the purpose of the Pure Selling Program. It's to teach those skills, because if you don't have those skills, it doesn't matter what you're selling, no one will buy it. It all starts with the foundation of being able to sell. You have to have a great idea. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, going back to what you were saying earlier, sales is the key. And it should be the basic thing that every entrepreneur should learn if they want to be successful. Pure Selling, it's 12 modules. It's 2 hours, about 2 hours a week over about 4 months. And you learn all the things that you need to do. And I don't disappear at the end of it. Just because we finished the 12 sessions together, I don't just disappear. I'm always there for people to come back, ask questions, and I never invoice anybody for that. Mm-hmm. I say, I just want you to invest in yourself, but make it a good investment. Make it the right investment. Programs like Milestones and Pure Selling are the right investments. It'll teach you everything you need to know that's going to help you get that great idea that you've developed and you want to offer people towards that goal and objective that we already have, which is a gold medal financial year.
You know, when I think about sales, when I think about what the huge shift for me was when it came to understanding sales, is when we spoke about, I don't remember what part it was in the module, where it explained that to be a genuine salesperson, you're not here to sell anything. You're here to actually speak to your client, ensure that they understand what it is, ensure that they understand what the product is, and be sure that what you're offering can actually benefit them. And if it can't, there's no point in you don't offer it to them. Like, because you're not here to just push a product. No. You're here to solve a problem, understand what
exactly. So we're solution providers.
That's it.
Everyone has a problem and they need a solution to their problem.
That's it. And that, like, to me, that was a huge shift because mind you, I have to say, maybe my wife like probably doesn't love it as much as I do. But the fact that I ask a million and one questions, I ask quite because I'm genuine about wanting to ensure, first of all, like, what I have for you, is it really for you? Like, is it, do you understand? And even now, when it comes to the OFC community, I could attest that when we stop asking a lot of questions at the beginning, prior to letting people join the community, like the community started to diminish. I have to say our numbers have always been good, but in terms of what we're offering and how the community was growing and evolving as community, that started to diminish because we didn't take the time that we were at the beginning. And it's funny because at the beginning, I was coming fresh off of learning a lot of stuff from you. So when people were joining the OFC, all my long time over 10 year members know that I had a paper form for them to fill out. We met on more than one occasion. I had all kind of stuff because I really wanted people to know and understand what this community was about. And I wanted it to be a good fit for them. I wanted them to join the community because they understood what this community was about. And I apply that to everything that I do in sales now. Anytime before we offer a product, before we offer a service, we take time to understand.
Yeah, and that's the key. You have to understand people. But you see, you asking a lot of questions is essentially that one of those superpowers that we were born with, curiosity.
Very well said. So now we have a huge opportunity that we're working on, that this is the climax of our interview here. Now, I want to thank, we have a new partner within the OFC. It's the Afro Entrepreneur, and we will have them on throughout this season, throughout the finance season here within the OFC, for them to come and introduce themselves to you guys and let more of the community know who they are and the services that they offer. But just in a nutshell, they are one of the funding bodies within our Black community. You could search them. All right. It's Afro Entrepreneur. If you're a business owner in business and you're prepared to scale and you need that financing, they're the body to look at. A lot of times they're not the ones for startups. There's a lot of different groups for startups, like Group 3737, which is another proud member of the OFC. They're great for a startup, but when you're looking to scale, Afro Entrepreneur is the spot where is the organization for you to be able to scale.
I don't think they should try to do it on their own. They should try to do it through a focused effort, which is what we're trying to do.
That's exactly what we're doing now. So now what they've done is they have a program where they subsidize 80% of the course. 80%, guys. There's something with something to be said about that, because although I was trying to see if I could even get this course free for people within the community, but guys, you already know, you don't really value things you don't pay for. Sorry to say it, guys. I'm just gonna just put it out there. We already know this. If you're given something for absolutely nothing, you don't value it the same as if you had to put a little bit of your own sweat equity.
And you won't show up. You won't do the homework.
There's homework to be done. There's commitments to be made. So I'm glad that they're not subsidizing the full 100%, but I'm super grateful that they're willing to subsidize 80%. So this is the call to the community right now. Anybody who's interested, we could take up to 12 people for this first cohort, if I'm not mistaken, right? Ken, is 10 to 12 max?
Yep. Yes.
Now, the people, we have already started receiving a couple of letters, but all we need from you at this stage is a letter of interest, a letter of intent to say, yes, I would love to take this course. I see the value in the milestones. I see the value in the sales. I see how it's going to potentially impact my business. It's reach out to us for more information about the program. Like, I'm not sure if we want to go into the price of the program and stuff now, Ken, or have them connect with us.
Just no, but so I think one of the things that we talked about, Pharaoh, is that we were going to prepare a letter
mm-hmm.
to help them yep. get into the program.
Make it even easier. So look,
just make it easy. So if they write to you saying, yes, I'm interested, can you please send me the letter so I can, the letter of intent that I needed to sign and fill out and send back to you. That just because we want to make it easy,
yeah,
for everyone to be part of this new initiative.
Thank you, and thank you for reminding me of that, because what we had said too, it's like we know a lot of business owners could benefit from it, but time is a factor. We are aware of that, so we said, you know what, this is how we could streamline the process for them. We have a template, so we're gonna share the contact. So first off, you guys already know. For us, our new contact, ofcpodcastradio@gmail.com. Very simple, ofcpodcastradio@gmail.com. If you email us there and just say, hey, we heard this on the radio, we'd like to find out more information about the course, we will do that, no problem. You could also reach out to ofcwecare@gmail.com. That's an easy one, ofcwecare@gmail.com. I'll also leave my number, but then, Ken, I want you to leave yours in case they want to just connect with you directly. All right, so for the OFC, it's 514-651-4545. Again, that's 514-651-4545. Now, that's to get through the OFC. You want to find out more information, you can do that. But Ken, if you could just share your handles with our listeners right now so they could connect with you directly, would be great.
Yes, it's 514-668-2320. Again, 514-668-2320. I'll be happy to send you some information about the two programs that we're trying to get as many people in to benefit from at that 80%. And it's awesome. So the content is fantastic. And I'm sure that, well, I mean, we've been teaching it for 41 years. It's been upgraded. People are still benefiting from the material. So the fact that we've been around for 41 years, that's a pretty powerful statement,
I have to say. So, Ken, you know how I like to wrap up these, where our slogan is still empowering the people. And one of the things I like to give our guests is an opportunity just to leave the people with some empowering words. So, you know, you're not a stranger to the show. So, you know how I like to get down. So as I'm closing out here, what kind of empowering words would you like to leave with the people this time around?
I like to think of myself as the click. I like to think of myself as that springboard, because we all need a lift in our business. And I strongly believe I am simply in the business to help you to grow your business intelligently.
Thank you for that, Ken. Thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for the support that you've given to community. You're a huge asset to the community. I don't think there's anybody that could say that you have not been there to support them in their business, support them in their growth, purchase their products, been to their events. Ken, you are an example of what it means to be a part of a community. I thank you again. I'm encouraging our community to reach out to you, reach out to us. The spaces are limited, so I definitely want to encourage people to get in contact with us. Yeah,
the first is 12 seats. There's 12 open seats.
That's
if
it.
You want to get one of those seats,
get in contact
hold of that interest letter and sign it up and send it in.
That's it. And actually, I have to say, I know we're less than 12 already. So definitely, I can't tell you exactly, but if I'm not mistaken, there's two people who are maybe three. Anyways, the point is, there's less than 10. You want to make sure that you're part of that top 10 and you're taking part. And we're going to be tracking the success, guys. You are going to be next year's success stories that we'll be talking about and ranting and raving about, that you came and started this program with us. You're only making X amount then, and you're making XXX amount now. I'm really excited for this. Stay tuned, everybody, as we now take a pause for the pause, and we'll be back with Kaya's Jambalaya.
You know what time it is. This is Kaya's Jambalaya. You know I'm always cooking up something hot. Come on in. Let me feed you, baby.
Alrighty, so welcome to another episode of Kaya's Jambalaya, y'all. And you know what time it is. We got to get into it because Rome is falling. Rome is falling. Well, with all of the stuff that's going on in Hollywood, I have to tell you that I honestly haven't moved a foot. I am reporting live right now from my bed because I just feel like, what can we really do about this shit show anyways? Nothing. That's the truth. So last week we talked about P. Diddy doing the absolute most and everybody else around him beginning to crumble at the same time. Well, I have gone dark. I've gone down a rabbit hole and I have started investigating everyone myself.
Yes.
This is one of the most tumultuous times I think Hollywood has ever seen since. So I don't want to keep bringing this, but I got to talk about this because it is getting crazier and crazier. So, you know, last week I talked about 50 Cent's baby mama ended up being part of the investigation. She's going to be summoned also, blah, 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 all of these different things. Young Miami is in trouble. She definitely has been accused of transporting drugs for P. Diddy and also being a recruiter for his F parties. I think all of us are well-versed at this point enough about what the F party means, because we know that Cassie spoke explicitly about what that was, but it's crumbling. And right now it looks like all arrows are leading to Oprah. Oprah is in big trouble right now. Oprah is in big trouble right now. Now they trying to break open a bag on Oprah, but you know what? She was one of this man's closest confidants. And how do you become that and you don't know about what he's doing?
But you know, it's funny you say that. It was just yesterday I was talking about, like, I just found it weird that there has not been too much talk of Oprah, or enough at least, because I do, like, you know, in terms of Epstein and wine, like, she's always around, you know, but it's like, mm-hmm. but she doesn't seem to be, you know, like, a part of it, but it, like, you know, she's close with Jay-Z, she's close with, like, you know, she always has, like, she's always around, but yeah, mm-hmm. but never really like the source of it. So I just find that kind of odd. But if you're saying that now some attention is on her, I think it is again just signs of the time.
Yes, it's definitely signs of the time. So when I say that Rome has fallen, you know, this thing, that this machine that is Hollywood goes back way farther than we know. And right now, a lot of emphasis has been put on the melanated people in Hollywood and not the higher ups, the powers that be. But I'm going to make a little prediction, as you know I do, when it comes to Kaya's Jambalaya and when it comes to entertainment. But I think that Clive Davis is actually next. Clive Davis is one of the moguls that they are going to have to investigate next. And when they do him, they're going to have to bring out Quincy Jones. So keep your ear open when it comes to that, because this is what's happening right now. They're about to call in everybody who they think had something to do with anything. So when I say I went down this rabbit hole, my mom actually told me about this documentary that's out called the Octopus Diaries or something like that. It's the story of one young man who decides that he is going to bring down a crime ring in America and ends up dead. But he links all of these different conspiracies that we think are conspiracies, and he seeks out the sources of these conspiracies and is telling whether or not they were true or not and how they all intertwine. So this is how they become the octopus. But it goes into several American agencies and the alphabet agencies that work together to dupe America and Canada out of whatever it is was going on at that time, out of our world leaders. So they have videos of Kennedy's shooting. They go back to break down that If you go and look at the grassy knoll, the reason why they use the term and always have talked about this grassy knoll, because they wanted people to pay attention to what they weren't paying attention to. On the grassy knoll, there's a tree. In the picture, you can see that the tree doesn't even touch the floor. The whole scene is a dupe. The whole scene is a lie. They say that Kennedy was shot from somewhere up above and somebody shot him. The driver in the front seat shot him. And they have the real footage and the footage that they showed to us on TV.
Okay, where you come up? Where you find these things, guy?
This is a documentary. What? This is a documentary that we need to watch. It's the Octopus Diaries. And you got to watch it. And it's about this guy who goes back and finds all of these different things that happen in history and pretty much breaks down what really happened. And Kennedy was shot by his driver. There was a man who was going to expose the United States government for these different things. And on his way to go and do it, he had some friends that was coming to pick him up, and they found him and three people that were staying in his house shot one time in the head and killed in their backyard. And nobody ever talked about it.
Yo.
But this Octopus is something that's Diaries. Really real.
Yeah,
the Octopus Diaries. You got to watch this, because they break down all of the stuff that we think we know. They just broke it down and told us, yo, it's a lie. The media has fooled y'all. I want you to take a look at this picture and tell me what you see. And then I'm going to show you these two videos and you tell me what you see. You tell me what you see from this. And the driver that's shooting Kennedy in the face. Is nobody from around the car. The driver actually turns around and bow, shoots him in the face. And that's the real video footage. And then somebody gave it to this young man, and it appears in this documentary.
Well, I'm Googling right now. Octopus Diaries. I can't find it. So, Kaya, you're gonna have to find
Don't worry,
this.
I got you.
Send it to us, because this is some crazy. This is next level stuff you're here talking about, Kaya.
Yeah, this is something that's real.
Can I bring just a different perspective?
Yeah.
When it comes to this, what's happening? You know, how we like to make our religious references, but you know, or spiritual references, I should say. But you know, they say everything done in darkness is going to come to light, and from everything I know in my core, karma is real. Life will always balance itself out. That's why it always says, "Yo, regardless, like you know, whatever's done in darkness always comes to light." And it's sad to say, but a lot of the things. Or a lot of the people in power that we see on TV did do some unscrupulous things to get to where they're at, because they were seeking that fame and they were seeking that power. And at the time is by any means. And they did. I feel they're under the impression that they would have been able to skate through life. They knew consequences were going to come, but maybe they just didn't know to what extent. So everything that's just being revealed right now, I feel it's just. It has to happen. It just so that people understand, like, yeah, balance is real. Karma is real. That's why the spirit keeps trying to tell us, yo, just live your life. Be like, pay attention to yourself. Be positive. Do what's right. Do what's good. Do what's better for humanity. And we all will thrive, because those who were self-centered, thinking about themselves, their own success, their own wealth, their own greed, are now going to pay the consequences. And those who were doing things on the planet, they're going to go through it. And like, I guess my word is for everybody out there who feels like, you know, they're doing what they have to do on the dark side, quote unquote, just in order to, you know, just to make their ends meet or to do it. But it's like, you really have to be mindful if it's impacting somebody negatively, because we're all one being on this planet. You're impacting yourself negatively and it's going to come back. Like, you can't avoid it. So it's like, I find this the collapse of Hollywood. It's telling. It's the signs of the times, but it's also like a warning for us who aren't famous and who are doing things thinking that, you know, we want to strive to be up there like them. We don't want to strive to be up there like them. We want to strive to live our best lives. We want to strive to be positive. We want to strive to, you know, help our brothers and sisters, because in helping other people, we're helping ourselves. You know, so as you're talking, that's it. That's what comes to me loud.
Amen. So let me give you the name of the movie. It's called American Conspiracy. The Octopus Murders.
Okay.
And it talks about all of these different murders in Hollywood that we see right in front of our eyes. The fall of different corporations and all kinds of stuff that we didn't understand. And now we understand that literally it's the government killing people off for money, for power, for this, that,
and the third. It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
Say
and
that.
It's scary. I'm talking about, there's only three parts to it, but I have only gotten to part two, because I keep going back to part one and rewatching it because I am flabbergasted at the stuff that I've seen. So I'm like, but this documentary changed my mama's life. My mom is like, you got to watch this. She said, this is what you do. You report the news. You need to talk about this.
Yo, but you know, it's funny. Shout out to Doggies, one of our Montreal Calypsonians. And he said, anybody who's on platforms like ours, we have a responsibility to ensure that
people.
We're informed.
That's right.
We got to be informing ourselves, and we got to be sharing, especially on platforms like this. Shout out to CKUT that creates a lot of these community platforms for the people. But we have a responsibility. You know, and yes, we always have the freedom and the right to share our perspectives, right? That's what it's our platform. We can share our perspective, our views on things. But we also have a responsibility to be informed and to share what people might not be aware of. So, you know, so again, kudos on you. Shout out to your moms just for bringing these things to our attention. I didn't even know this thing existed. I spend more time on Gaia. Shout out to Gaia. I encourage everybody to go on Gaia and just watch all kind of things if you want to tap into spirituality. Why? Sorry. I digress again, Kaya. Go ahead. What is yours?
No, it's all good. And I thank you for that. So this is Kaya's Jambalaya, and I will be back next week dropping some information on y'all. I hope this show wasn't too heavy for you guys, but I'm giving you information, and not all of it, so that you can go and do some investigating and find out for yourself what's really good. Don't take my word for it, even though my predictions be on point. Don't take my word for it. Go out there and identify your God, identify what you got going on. And you know what? Just because I just want to touch on this going, just as I'm going out, because I feel like we touched on something about the Book of Clarence earlier. And it's something that I feel like I just need to say it, because a lot of people don't know God. And a lot of people think because we see a lot of different religions that there's a lot of gods, but it's one God. It's one God. And people call them different names because of where they come from or how they were colonized. But I want y'all to know, there's one God. Seek him. Seek him. And now is the time. And whatever it is that you're doing, seek him. That's my piece.
Hey, everybody. I'm Gina the Great, a.k.a. Miss Politically Correct, a.k.a. The Devil's Advocate, a.k.a. Big Lyran Energy. And this is Ungrind My Gears, a segment where we keep it light, keep it bright, and share some fun facts and some jokey jokes.
What the facts? We are in our viral era, but it's important to fill in the gaps with context. So, I don't know if you guys saw the video that came out, and they were talking about a protest in St. Lucia on the beach.
Yes.
Right. And so that had the caption of saying that some white people came and purchased the hotel and had put signs up on the beach saying it's a private beach and no trespassing. So the St. Lucians came together and were just like, not only are we going to trespass, but we're going to have a whole protest of party and like, you know, on the beach.
Yeah.
And so thank you to Know Your Caribbean, because you want to talk about platforms and keeping people in the know. They absolutely keep people in the know of what's going on in the Caribbean and also giving context to it, right? So they wanted to put a little clarification to that video. And first and foremost, that the video actually came out and was filmed in 2020. So it's actually 4 years old. That's the thing about social media too. I know that we have to be informed about certain things too, but if you're going to post something that you saw somewhere and you want to, and then you're reigniting it, like, I'm going to need you to know what's actually going on today about it and understand when it was posted. Because I see a lot of that too, and what it does too is like, and not this in particular, but I was watching a few different things that came out, and it's creating these outrages, and then you're like, oh, well, that happened 5 years ago, and like, or it was resolved or whatnot, or maybe it wasn't, and so like everything right now is for fast click. But I appreciate Know Your Caribbean because they always come and give that context, and so and here, let me read what they said there. So the Kaomba Beach is an area enjoyed by locals for picnics, kitesurfing, and more. With the likes of the late Amy Winehouse, who spent 8 months in a peaceful solitude singing karaoke in the area, and the one and only bar that was owned by Marjorie's. So she was it was ran by a local woman who's been there for decades, and Kaomba is a powerful place. In extreme importance is the fact that it is on today. I can't even read, I can't even speak. Okay. In extreme importance is the fact that it was also an indigenous people's burial ground, where countless artifacts had been found, including several bodies of indigenous people, stone axes, clay heads, and more. The plan was to bulldozer the area and build an 18-hole golf course, a resort, and the cherry on the cake, a restaurant right on top where the indigenous bodies were buried. So Marjorie, now an elderly woman, was kicked off of her business and paid a comparatively insignificant amount of money for the loss of her legacy. So yes, the St. Lucians protested, but the project still went ahead. The golf course is built and is currently open. Acres upon acres, bulldozered.
Wow.
Right? A small sliver of silver lining is that whilst Marjorie will be located, a promise to rebuild at her bar and modernize it alongside a higher fee was renegotiated. The development is Cabo St. Lucia. So if y'all go to St. Lucia, I'm not saying boycott it, but I'm just saying no, if you stay at Cabo St. Lucia, it's got some history and some disregard for some more important historical grounds for this golf course resort. And so Noah Caribbean also says, as much as they would like to say that the protest made a difference, they need to clarify that the video, they need to make these clarifications because the video resurfaced, and they want to make sure that he provided context and the whole truth. So I appreciate it resurfacing for the knowledge. And I definitely appreciate Know Your Caribbean, because I want to go visit St. Lucia one day. And I like to stay in, you know, some 4.5 to 5-star hotels. That's what I like to do. Next thing you know, I could have found myself at Cabo St. Lucia.
More fire for Cabo St. Lucia. Thank you.
Yeah. So that's that was Know Your Facts today. That was what the facts were today.
Can I just add this? Because I just want to say this because I feel like sometimes this needs to be said. When it comes to Caribbean countries and Afro-Caribbean countries and let's just say Africa, non-melanated people, when you have that thought process, oh, let me get up and take myself and go and live in these people's place, and because I have money, let me go and buy up some land and go and inconvenience them, stay in your own place. Go to your own places. Stay out of our places. Stop coming there and pulling up our stuff and digging up our stuff because you don't even know what you're disrupting. Leave it. Leave it like you found it when you come there. Come, enjoy, and leave and go home. Spend your money and go home. Mm. Oh, and stop thinking you're doing something great. You're not. We don't like it.
Yeah, and to add to that too, the laws in St. Lucia that there are no private beaches are allowed on the island. But locals are still made to feel uncomfortable by security guards who are also local under instruction by foreign owners. So absolutely. If you go to St. Lucia, actually, so when I do go to St. Lucia, I'm going to stay somewhere else and I'm going to make sure that I'm going to make a point to go stay on the beach that is on this this development, specifically because you can't just come and start claiming land and saying that it's private property. It is not. It is a law.
Yeah, I'm ready to have a verbal sparring with these people, because this is what happened in Barbados to their economy when it came to the St. Lawrence Gap. Some white folks went out there and bought up all the land around the St. Lawrence Gap, and then they put up noise pollution laws. So at nighttime, when you're trying to party, they come and shut the party down because the party is too loud. But this is the St. Lawrence Gap. It came, enjoyed the gap, loved the feeling you got, bought some property there, and then realized, damn, I got to sleep here at night. Why did I build my house here? Okay, y'all got to be quiet. And you don't even understand how this place gets their money. And now you're shutting down their tourism. So we want you to understand, don't stop going to these folks' place. Leave these folks.
There was something, and not to dive into that, I don't have all the facts on it, but I remember there was the Dollarama Empire, that family that they purchased a chunk of, what was it called? A UNESCO site in St. Lucia. So it was like, again, I guess I would compare it to like a heritage site or whatever be the case. And they're looking to tear down for their own houses, like not even for commercial, nothing. And so it did create a petition and stuff like as well, to the point where it's like people coming from foreign, moving into people in place and looking to tear it up. And this is just for their own personal, like they have enough millions and zillions that they're like, yo, we want our houses to be lit.
Like, mm-hmm. And I understand that wanting to go live where it's warmer. I get that. I want that too. But do you know how many, like, you can just buy an island. Do you know how many, like,
yeah,
deserted per se, but like So go buy an island in the Bahamas. There's a bunch of those islands where you're not going to disrupt like the local people. If you have money to spend to want to go in bulldozer spaces like that, you can buy yourself an island. It'll be your own little coast. You can build whatever you want, bulldozer that, and build your own stuff. And
if I could just interject this, though, we got to understand that this is not about land. This is not about where they live. They want to be surrounded by Black bodies and Black energies, because you'll be protected under melanin. So you think you're going to come and put up a house and set it up in the middle of us, and you're going to be, nah, B, we got to understand what this is really about. We got to stop these folks from coming into our places and buying up our stuff and moving us out. This is colonization at its finest. Like, we didn't see enough of this in the U.S. Stay where you're at, tanana your yard. Stay out of our places.
All right. Well, I have a question. I know it's not trivia yet, but I'm going to give you a line, and I want you guys to tell me where this lyric is from this iconic song. I'm going to say it one more time. I'm not going to stop. Who said that lyric, and in what song?
Say it one more time. I'm going to say it one more time.
I'm going to say it one more time. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to say it one more time. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to say it one more time.
Oh, that's Michael Jackson?
No. But that's not what he's saying.
It's not Mama Say Mama Sa Mama Akusa. No, it's not. It's actually
Mama Say Mama Sa Mama Akusa. And I have a link for you that Pharaoh's gonna play. And then listen closely. Can you hear it?
Mm-hmm. I cannot. I'm just gonna play it again. Enough times.
And the thing is, because when you know it, especially I'm gonna say the end part, you don't hear it as much, but I'm gonna say it one more time. You can really hear that, though. I'm gonna say it one more time. I'm not gonna stop. I'm gonna say it one more time. I'm not gonna stop.
I'm gonna tell you something. They lied. I can tell you that right now. They're lying. It's not true. This is what they want us to believe, because they don't want us to say those powerful words.
I'm gonna say it one more time. I'm not gonna stop.
That's not what they're saying.
But what language are those?
I want to say it's Swahili, but we should find out. We should actually investigate this. They say it's Cameroonian.
What song is that again?
Makossa means dance in the Cameroonian language of Douala. So they're saying that. It's saying, Mama Say Mama Sa Mama Kusa means something to the effect of, I'm never going to stop dancing. But that's what it translates to. I'm going to say one more time, I'm not going to stop. But Mama Say Mama Sakusa or Mama Say Makosa is having to do with dance. It's like, I'm never going to stop dancing. Like, well, that's the translation of it. But Mama Say Mama Sa Mama Kusa is, yeah.
Okay, but it's from Wanna Be Starting Something. That's the song.
Yeah.
When they're saying Mama Say Mama Sa Mama Kusa, it says it translates to you're a vegetable in the language of Douala. So
no, it means dance. That's why I said there's too many different medias out there saying this. Makossa means dance in Cameroonian language, not vegetable. I'm telling you, they're making up stuff so that we don't say the words properly, that we don't. I'm telling you, there's, we got to go back.
Say what you want to say, but that was say. I'm gonna say it one more time. I'm not gonna stop. Or say your mama say mama sa mama kusa, however you say it. But you know, today years old.
Hey,
conspiracies continue.
This is a deep one. I gotta investigate deep.
But you know, they trying to erase who the people, who history is, right? What history is. So they are changing a lot of stuff, and they making us think these things, but we can't get caught up in that, because they really are making us believed that the stuff that really meant something to us means nothing to us now. So we got to know that we in the Mandela effect right now. We in that shit.
Yeah.
Because the thing right now, I'm on Spotify and the lyrics in the Spotify. That's why I'm like, yo, what are we saying? Like the lyrics in the Spotify says, help me sing it. Mama say, mama sa, ma ho sa. Mama say, mama sa. That's, they literally have it spelled out.
Mama ko sa.
Yo, that's, it's like, I'm going to chat GPT this. I'm going to copy this, throw it in the chat GPT advance. Tell it to decode this thing for me. What language is it? Don't worry, guys. Next week, we're coming
back. Something, but I'm going to tell you.
Investigative report, OFC Empire, OFC
Be podcast. Be careful of everything that you're looking at. Be Yo. Careful of everything that's, because we in the Mandela effect. They are taking away pieces of that's stuff and adding in stuff to see if we know, if we recognize. This is what they're doing to us right now. So this is how they end up putting in this alternate reality. You know, like when you could type in DuckDuckGo on the internet and get a whole nother www.com.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That's you know how you could go past that and actually go to the dark web?
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Well, this is what those things, that's layers of this. They were like, okay, enough of that internet. We're going to make it like this never existed and put another sheet in front of it. And they're going to use this. They're going to think it's the same one.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that. I do agree. There's a lot of Mandela effect going on and people are just like, I thought it was this whole time. And then you're kind of, it's gaslighting at its best.
Yes, it is.
Gaslighting at its best. But let's keep it pushing. And you know what? I'm going to let you guys know from now, my segment is going to be music heavy. I just what it is. That's how the cookie crumbled. Do you guys know Vince Staples?
It sounds familiar.
Vince Staples.
Yeah, so he's a rapper. It's Staple, and you know what? Because I have to say this, I've been calling him Vince Staples with an S, and black people, we gotta stop adding S's everywhere. S's don't belong everywhere. It is Staple, no S. It's not Vince Staples. He also has a show on Netflix. So his show is called The Vince Staples Show. And the premise is kind of famous, sort of rich, rapper actor Vince Staples navigates the challenges of everyday life in his hometown of the beach. Go watch it. It's not very long. I think it's like 6 or 7 episodes. It's going to give you it's going to kind of give you the feel of Insecure meets Atlanta, if you will, a bit.
What? Mm-hmm. I love both of those shows.
Yeah. But Vince Staples is hilarious.
That's Staple or Staple?
Staple with no, well, with an S at the beginning, no S at the end. So I'm gonna have a series of Vince Staples says, and I have a couple slides of it. I'm gonna give you slide one, and Farrah's gonna play the first slide of my provided link. Here's a warning: these are uncensored interviews. They're funny, but he does curse. So if the children are around, let me give you a couple seconds, a couple minutes.
The kids curse too. The kids curse worse than the adults.
Let them know that there's adult conversations, and let them know that there are things that adults say that doesn't necessarily mean they need to go out and repeat. But here's a little bit of Vince Staples.
If we can, we'll see if we can clean up some of the cursing in the edit. But if we can't, well, you guys already know.
That's not a fact. Yeah. Who did he fight that wasn't a dope fiend?
Yeah. The Riddler?
Dope.
Yeah. The Riddler wasn't on dope.
He's a dope fiend. That's a dope fiend line. He got him in a green suit. It was Jim Carrey. Dope fiend.
Two-Face wasn't a dope fiend.
For sure was a dope fiend. He fell in the acid, bro. That's called MDMA. Dope fiend. Keep going.
Raja Ghul.
Raja Ghul for sure dope fiend.
How you figure?
Because he was a white man who said his name was Raja Ghul. And that wasn't even really no fake. That was his big homie. He just went against the grain. That's not really like, that's not a, that was a squabble he had to really.
So that was like a hood fake.
Penguin, dope fiend. Joker, super dope fiend.
Joker was a dope fiend.
Exactly. Psych meds. SNY, special needs, yard. He only fights dope fiends.
Catwoman was a dope fiend?
Absolutely, she was crazy. Psych meds. She was breaking in his house.
She was a woman.
Now women can't be dope fiends.
I didn't say that.
So that's just a little bit of Vince Staples and living in Vince Staples' mind. I'm gonna give you a couple more of his interviews down the line, but he really does some like, I don't know how his brain works. I don't know how he sat there one day and was just like, yeah, Batman's just out here fighting dope fiends. That's all it is. Go watch his show, The Vince Staples Show. And like, again, you can come here to hear a couple snippets, but go watch his interviews too, because he's hilarious, and watch them in full.
Yo, that was funny as hell. I was over here. I coughed and laughed so hard. Oh my gosh. That was too funny, but I feel like he's right. What he just described is exactly that. And anybody who knows anything about the streets, they was different types of dope fiends, but he telling you, yeah, that's how they act. This is that. He said, ha, ha. When he did the laugh, I was no good. Anybody who laughs like that is all dope. Hello. Back.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, social media gone wild. If you're hearing this, it's been a week. It's been out. J. Cole dropped Might Delete Later.
Are we playing a clip?
I don't have, well, I mean, maybe we can, you know, power of editing.
You know we got to play a clip, Gina. But
you already know when it dropped on Friday morning, I played it. It's 12 songs, 43 minutes. His songs are pricey. He's got Ari Lennox in there, Young Dro, Gucci Mane, Crocodile Tears, Ready for 24 featuring Cameron. There was a leak about that a couple weeks ago. He leaked that. Cameron did put it on there, and I should have known, because I was just like, I didn't even know the album was coming. So he really dropped leaked that. He dropped it like in silence. He moved in silence for sure. Hunting Wabbits, HYB featuring Bass and Central C. Fever, Sticks and Stones, Stealth Mode featuring Bass, 3001, Trey the Truth in Ibiza, and the 7-Minute Drill. And the 7-Minute Drill seems like it may have been a last-minute addition, because if you've been living under a rock, you have not been in tuned or know that Kendrick's shot some fires, mm-hmm. right? So Future dropped his album. And there was a song featuring Kendrick. And Kendrick, I'm going to say this. Kendrick is absolutely, definitely up there in terms of lyricists, in terms of an artist and all these things. I'm not a super Kendrick fan, just because I do feel that he yells at me a lot in his raps. And that's just not the form of communication that I can really enjoy and or appreciate. So I'm not going to sit here and say that I've been a Kendrick cover to cover listener. But he did murk that verse. And I will also say that I don't listen to Future because Future is toxic. He's a very toxic artist. All he does is talk about drugs and being a toxic male. Even down to the fact that Juice WRLD had said that he started doing drugs because he was listening to Future, and come to find out, and got addicted to drugs and stuff like that, and come to find out Future doesn't even do it himself. And he doesn't do the things that he sings about, except for being a toxic man, for sure. I think he definitely is. And we've seen that with him being an absentee father in most to all of his children's lives. But I will say that the track does bang, despite all that. And Future does put out some bangers in there, but I do try not to listen to him. I actively try not to listen to him as well when he's on any album, because I really just don't respect the music that he puts out. Tools is up, lost too many soldiers not to play it safe. If he walk around with that stick, it ain't Andre 3K. Think I won't drop the location, I still got PTSD. Mother, the big three, it's just big me. Boom, what? I'm really like that, and your best work is a light pack. Prince outlived my Jack. Boom. And then what is the track that J. Cole answered back to Kendrick on the album? It's the last track on his album, 7-Minute Drill. But before he dropped 7-Minute Drill, when Like That came out, Cole's initial answer was him playing was him subtweeting and playing the part in Middle Child, where he says, like, to act like two legends cannot coexist, but I never beef with a N-word for nothing. If I smoke a rapper, it's gonna be legit. It won't be for clout. It won't be for fame. It won't be because I'm not selling ish the same. I'm butchering it because I'm just like super excited about all these things going on here. Like, rap is up and coming, or rap is up again, if you will. I'm a J. Cole fan,
but real rap.
Yeah, right. So he was saying, like, yeah, like, for him, if he beefs, it's not gonna be for clout, it's not gonna be for fame, it's not because his stuff isn't selling the same. And that was his initial response to what Kendrick sent out, because he's just like, this isn't I mean, are we beefing for real? Just put the rollie right back on my wrist. This watch came from Drizzy. He gave me a gift back when the rap game was praying like this. To act like two legends cannot coexist. But I never beef with it for nothing. If I smoke a rapper, it's gonna be legit. It won't be for clout. It won't be for fame. It won't because my shit ain't selling the same. It won't be to sell you my latest little sneakers. It won't because some slid in my lane. Everything grows. It's destined to change. I love you, little niggas. I'm glad that you came. I hope that you scrape every dollar you came. I hope you know money won't erase the pain. To the OGs, I'm thinking you now. I was watching you when you was paving the ground. I copied your cadence, I mirrored your style. I studied the grace. And it seems like Kendrick has more of an issue with Drake, but because obviously J. Cole and Drake are touring and made a song together, let's call it Collateral Damage, if you will. And also I think that the anger was them claiming like just being what is it, like top three and all that. So I guess that rubbed Kendrick the wrong way.
But it's crazy because Kendrick gave props to, I'm sorry, J. Cole gave props to Kendrick when we're talking about the top three. But I did recently see Jill Scott respond. Jill Scott was like, she's not taking no sides. And she's here for all of it. She's here for it because these are two lyrical giants. So right. she's here for the entertainment. She's like, I'm here for these lyrics. Like, let's keep it going.
And the thing too is like, I was surprised that Kendrick actually did a collaboration with Future, honestly, just because like with what Kendrick puts out and what he puts out and like what Future puts out is a little weird. But I was also pretty surprised when Cole toured with Young Thug too at the time. They did have a tour and I felt like that was different type of caliber of music as well. However, and comma though, if you want your music to reach outside of those that it's reaching out to, especially when you have an important message to send, you do have to diversify your people or your target audience. And touring with Young Thug, I do believe, did that. And maybe Kendrick's doing the same in the future. I don't know. But also I feel like 7-minute drill to me was the right amount of response. It was, you know, at or above the belt. You know, and it does feel like it's one of those responses where it's just like, hey, like this isn't beef. Like I'm not beefing you. Like it's not when I see you in these streets, because he's not about clout chasing, but we all know that Cole can melt a mic. So let's just not.
Let's you not know, play. We're playing everything for you guys today. You have to get everything today and pull tracks. Okay.
And so I was going to do a hip hop bracket, but I think I'm going to do that for next episode, because they pull out these brackets and I'm not quite sure how or why they did it, but like I'll work on that next week. Just know I'm going to ask you guys, we're going to go into some hip hop brackets, but they did things like putting Biggie versus 21 Savage. So I'm not sure who built this bracket, and some things it's just like, that's not comparable, but in other places you kind of did like, you know, versus Future. So we'll do the hip hop bracket next week. And we'll go ahead and skip right through to trivia.
Oh, we ready. Told you, I read 3 books this week.
Did you?
No. Well,
I'm so glad you did that.
Oh, he said no. See?
Well, good, because it went to hell. Because it's music trivia. I told you, I'm in my
music. You see? But that's all right, because I've been taking in all kinds of music. I hope it's soundtracks for movies like Clarence, because I did listen to that soundtrack. Dope.
Did you?
Yeah,
what a coincidence, because it isn't. So.
Yeah, fish shake.
So, question number one. The score was released by which hip-hop group?
Fugees.
Yep. One for Vero.
Kai was busy Googling it. Kai, you can't Google it.
I'm not Googling. I was listening to a voice note that somebody sent me at 8 this morning. Like, the whatever.
Oh, everyone wants to.
Go ahead.
That's probably listening to a voice note during trivia.
Yeah, Gio, she don't want the points. She don't want the points.
Wow. Listen, I don't know who with the album called. Anyways, you know I don't do good with names. I don't know. Oh.
I mean, okay. And like, here's the thing. In my head, when I was doing this trivia, I was like, oh, this is pretty easy. So I was expecting to hear a yell out from both ends. But yes, it is the Fugees. Number two, what was Lil Wayne's first album called?
Carter?
No.
Yeah. Before the Carters, you're right.
The Carters. If I go, does that help?
Black is Hot?
The block is hot.
Oh, it's like, I'm like, it, I am. No excuses here. Go ahead, guys. Your point.
All right. One. Hello.
You act like you just gave me something. Go ahead, Kaya. It's your point.
All right. It's 1-1. Biggie and Duffer was released. Sorry, not Biggie. Ooh. Bigger and Duffer was released by which artist?
Heavy D.
Not Heavy D.
Bigger and Deffer.
His legal name is James.
LL Cool J.
LL Cool J, yo. Number 4. E-1999 Eternal was released by which hip-hop group or artist?
Say it again.
1999 Eternal.
Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Yes, ma'am.
And that wasn't that album, but okay.
No, I know.
Buddha Lover.
I know, but you know that I miss okay. I miss everybody's okay.
One. That's what people know. That's what people know.
Bone Thugs, yep.
Yeah. So, number 5. Sorry. Thangonia was released by which hip hop group?
Okay. Go ahead, Kaya.
I'll give both the poem.
I'm gonna give you my goodness. I clearly said it first.
Are you kidding me?
Oh my God.
I watched you both.
I said Outkast and ended the word before you even got started.
Oh my God.
Yo. Come on, G. I got
this segment right back real quick so we can hear what I want, but that's all right.
Okay, we're going to do it. We're going to do it.
Just
and we're
going to
make a bet. Andrew, cue the playback.
Yeah.
Number 6.
In slow motion.
Who said this? Grandmama's daughter didn't raise no sucker. Grandmama's daughter didn't raise no sucker.
Glorilla?
No. No, I did not. I didn't do too much today's music. Hint, he was part of G-Unit.
Lloyd Banks?
Lloyd Banks.
I was just going to guess. I had no idea. I was just going to say.
You were 5. Question number 7. Wyclef and Mary J. Blige did a song together on Wyclef's Eclectic.
Someone please call 911.
I just said it.
Did you? I mean, I heard you humming.
Oh my God.
That's fine. Well, I'm gonna give it.
Give him another point because he's your cousin.
I did see him humming. I did hear it coming from him before you. You had to sing a little.
He didn't say the words.
I started with the word.
He was harmonizing. He was like,
"Oh my God, girl, again."
No. Oh my God, give him the point because he's your cousin, man. But I'm taking the point too because how dare you?
You already know.
I don't even have pity points.
But we know he's a dirty cheater, so.
But you already know I don't just give P points off of the strength.
Bro, he's forever taking points away.
Oh my God. Oh my goodness. Let's not talk about this because I believe that nepotism is alive up in these trivia games.
I call it reparations for what he put me through and throughout my childhood. So I'm not out here giving him points.
Come on, I got 6.
I was just following in the crowd, Gina. I wasn't even that bad of a person.
Well, you know what? Next time, follow that's why I don't follow fashion. Fashion follow me. And
All right.
Number 8. Which artist is the people's champ?
50 Cent?
Nope.
The people's champ.
Hint.
Oh, which artist? You didn't say rapper.
I said which artist.
Artist. Mm-hmm. But we know it's a rapper.
All right, get, champ.
If I say
LL Cool J.
No. If I say sitting on fofos.
Chipping fofos. Mike Jones.
No. Deep voice. Not Flo Rida.
No.
Riding on fofos, tripping. I'm the
someone with a thug in it.
You know what? I'm sorry, I gave you the wrong hint. Because you're right. Sitting on fofos is Mike Jones. Wasn't he on that? Oh, he was. He was featured on that song. I wasn't wrong. He's featured on that song.
Oh, I was right? Mike Jones?
No, it's not Mike Jones.
It's Thug, Young Thug?
It's not Slim Thug either, but the people's check is Paul Wall.
We don't even know that.
I know. Paul Wall did not.
What are you talking about?
right. You're right.
Come on, guys.
He was nowhere near my memory bank. Yeah, he probably still there.
All right.
He calls himself that, self-proclaimed.
I mean, it is.
But we never called him that.
Well, a lot of people self-proclaim a lot of things.
Lord, have mercy.
Question number 9. What song are these lines from? Taking my time to perfect the beat, and I still got love for the streets.
Dre, Dr. Dre.
Thank you. I feel
it's
like
the D-R-E.
Yes, Dr. Dre is the rapper, but what song is that from?
Still got love for the streets.
That is not the name of the
I'm
song.
Still Dre. Still Dre.
Still Dre. Yes.
Damn, okay, you're good at that. I didn't have that at all.
Last and certainly not the least.
Jesus.
Alongside DJ Run and DMC.
Run DMC. DJ.
First of all, let me
say. I didn't hear the question. What
I'm
was
so
the question?
Sorry. That's I just stopped okay, myself. She didn't have the answer. I just said to myself, loud talk. I just said that to myself. What is wrong with you?
So once again, alongside DJ Run and DMC, who else was a member of Run DMC?
Jam Master Jay.
Yeah, Master J. Kyle, it's a blowout.
Sorry, I had to go fast because this one Pharaoh was blowing me out the water at first. I was like, I can't lose.
He was he was never blowing you out any water.
Yeah, yeah, he has the on-court advantage, right? So
he has 3 points and you have 8. I don't see how any blowing of any waters.
Hey, you guys called each other before the show so Kyle could be ready. All right.
Well, look, we dressed alike and we got the same hairdo today.
That's what I'm saying. As usual,
we both got on the same kind of like shirts, shoulder out, head slick back, and look, her part is here, but my part is there. Like,
that's what I'm saying. You're just proving my point. I knew you guys.
No. First of all, and all of all, I'm gonna need you to take accountability. Be accountable for yourself and for what you know and what you did not know, and then what you learned today.
All right, fine.
All right, the audience, y'all don't see this dance I'm doing, but this is my celebratory dance right here. This is the one when I won it earnestly.
Bridget Tambourine, because every time her wants to win, he wants to pull out tambourines.
Oh my gosh, right? You know what? That's why I don't even feel bad.
Next week, I'm coming to redeem.
Yeah, well, I grind, you grind, and sometimes we need to ungrind together. That's Ungrind My Gears with Gina the Great. Thank our special guests. And this episode is possible thanks to the awesome people at CKUT, the OFC, Solo Drum, and the Caribbean Curry House. Do you have any shout-outs?
Gina the Great for a great show, because that was dope. I just had a great time. This was wonderful, and I thank you because I needed this. It was hard for me to wake up. It was hard for me to get up this rising. And this right here, this was a good laugh. I appreciate you.
Rise and shine. I want to shout out, I think I shared it with a few different people, but I want to shout out the Yuka app. Are you guys familiar with the Yuka app?
I heard about it on another radio show, but I haven't tried it yet.
Well, you should have heard it also from me sharing it in the family group chat, because it's such an important app to have, right? Exactly. Shake all of your head. It's if you find the app, it has a little carrot in the front of it. It's such an important app because I use it, and basically it scans codes on your food and your cosmetics and lets you know if like the grade that it is. So it has like poor, bad, and good. So it lets you know, like, even all those foods that you have where it says organic this or no cholesterol that, blah, 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 all those salacious marketing stuff that it has, it actually scans out the ingredients that are in there, and those ingredients that you're not quite sure what that actually means and what it is, it'll let you know whether it's bad, and if it's red, throw that away because it's not doing anything good for you. So just throw it away. I did a whole clean out and things in my cupboards, my fridge, and in my bathroom. If it's poor, it's just that it lets you know that there's ingredients in there that are not the greatest. And so I told myself, okay, whatever's been in the poor, I'll finish it up. I just won't buy it again. And then if it's good, at least you know you're in the green. It's generally things that are much more organic. There's no additives. There's no things that are actually not supposed to go into your body. And the best thing about that app too, and I know I'm speaking about it like I'm getting paid for it, but I just think it's so important for everybody to have. It does give you alternatives. So, like, you know, if you have certain lotions that you really like, it's saying, okay, well, this may not be good, or that might be poor or bad, but here's an alternative option so that you get to keep eating and or using what it is that you like, just a better option for it. So So download the Yuka app and just get a better life. That's it.
So I'm gonna just throw out my Kaya conspiracy on it one time, because when I first heard about it, I was like, sounds pretty good. And then I told myself, how long until the powers that be infiltrate the app, buy it without people knowing, and then they're making sure that all their products are getting recommendations, and their counterparts are getting red marks or whatever be the case. I'm just saying,
or they buy out the suggestions,
perhaps. But what they do is that when you scan it, it does basically tell you what those all the ingredients are. So when you're seeing that polythene, that you have no idea what it is, it'll tell you, oh, well, that polythene is this, and the third. And
it'll let you know
that's a good thing or a bad thing or whatnot.
So that is a good part, but you know, the majority of people, they'll skip you right through the definitions. They'll just look for colors because that's just how the society
is. Critical thinking and discernment and everything that you do.
So that's what I'm here for. I'm Uncle Pharaoh. I got to tell you guys, always look at it from both sides and just know, read the fine print for yourself. Don't be misled. But honestly, what made me think this way is the carrot logo. I was like, why is it a carrot logo? I was like, they always want people to chase these carrots and all kind of different things. I was like, these people come up with all kind of crazy things. You know, anyways, but that, again, I'm just throwing that out there. All right, I'm just going to throw that out there. Also, as I'm winding down and giving my shout outs, first to the Lord, I'm going to read the verse here. So it's Matthew 7, verses 3-5. Why do you look to take the speck of sawdust out of your brother's eyes and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? That's the modern version. All right, guys. So I just, from what we said earlier in the show, it was important to bring that back to make sure that those who are listening today were able to go away with that verse. In other words, basically mind your own business. All right. Handle your matters and don't be in everybody's sauce. That's how we remixed it for this show. So now,
I'm surprised you didn't use the word muckle. Macautious.
don't go macautious.
Don't be macautious and don't muckle in people business.
Keep to yourself. All right. Other quick things. Shout out the Black Entrepreneurial Knowledge Hub. That's Beck and the OFC. And actually Red Cross Canada. We have a survey that we're doing where we want to hear from all Black entrepreneurs, especially our brothers and sisters down community bunk of fun. They're basically almost systematically or systemically, we've been missing a lot of the French business owners' voices when it comes to these national surveys. So the OFC, we're working in collaboration with Beck and Carleton University to circulate this survey. We want to hear from you all business owners. This is our next step to push to ensure that we are recognized, we're acknowledged, our efforts are being recognized, and the funding that we're entitled to trickles down the line. So please don't hesitate. Reach out to the OFC if you haven't taken the survey yet. Check us out on all our platforms. We have the survey blasted everywhere, but it's really important that we hear your voices. Let's do that. Mikhail, I can't wait to have him on as the guest. He's going to be in Montreal actually during the weekend of our what should be our carnival weekend here in Montreal. So he's going to be here. So shout out to, I think the professor is bringing him up. So it's going to be lit. You know, actually on that same note, as we're transitioning to Kaya's Jambalaya, we're working the OFC West Canada, BCRC, and Concordia. We're working on a documentary where we're doing the documentary on the history of the Montreal Carnival, and it's a youth-led initiative. I'm really excited about it because we're actually going to be able to, you know, do our best to pull up all the history of from the Bacchanal to the great times to the original conception to when Muhammad Ali came here, like when the carnival brought Muhammad Ali to Montreal. Like, we're going to be able to touch on everything and just put it all together for people within the community. So for those who are out there, and if you haven't heard about it and you're interested in participating, whether be you're a youth and you actually want to contribute to the creation of the documentary, or you're you know, just an adult in the community who have had experiences within Carnival throughout the years and you just want to share your stories and your experiences, and you want to make sure it's documented, and you have old-time VHSs, we started going through VHSs, all kinds of things, to be able to, you know, help us to document what was, we definitely want to hear from you. So reach out to the OFC, 514-651-4545. I want to just, I'm sending love out to the families, to the communities. But one important thing I want to put out there is, guys, educate your children in terms of how to deal with police interaction. We had a situation in the community the other day where two of our young boys got held up by some police, where technically they shouldn't even have been encountered or communicating with the police. But because they were not aware, when the police said, you know, they're sitting in the backseat of a car, the police said, get out of the car. They got out of the car and the police put them in the backseat, handcuffed them and put them in the back of their car. Outrage hit our community. These type of things should never happen. The police had no right to do that. They're technically minors. Well, one just turned 18 days ago. But anyway, the point is, they're minors. For the most part, the police should have waited to communicate with their parents to find out exactly what was happening. But to handcuff these boys, like, these type of things should not be happening. These kind of traumas should not be made normal within our community. So guys, as a community, we got to do what we can to educate our children. We can't protect them from the BS because it's all over the place, and we want them to live and want them to grow and want them to be free out there. But at the same time, we have to educate them. We have to empower them so they know what they need to do and what they don't need to do. They need to know how to listen, and they need to know who to call in circumstances like this, guys. So let's just fortify our youth, prepare our youth for these kind of things. And that is it for me. Peace and blessings all. Thank you for tuning in today.
Kings and queens, this was the OFC Podcast Radio with Pharaoh Hammond Freeman, Queen Kaya, and Gina the Great. We're on every Thursday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on CKUT 90.3 FM. Hopefully you got your dose of entertainment, enlightenment, and empowerment.
OFC Podcast Radio.
We are back!
Stay blessed, black, and highly favored.